So today's daf will be very clear on your computer monitor. Take a look on your tzag. There you go. And the tzag is monitored.
Tzag is monitor?
A tzag is a monitor, computer monitor. Latzig means to present. Yes, and we were up to the understanding of the basis of the machlokas, the three-way machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. If you recall, Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah says that if Shnehem are motzi kikar shesarabim, you would be potter unless it was a case of lo yachol echad lo tzio votzio shnayim. Right? So in other words, in the Mishnah, we don't notice Rabbi Meir Shita yet. In the Mishnah, we just have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, who's a Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon patters even where Zayin no Yachol, Zayin no Yachol. Rabbi Meir, it turns out in the Gemara, brings the Brisa, that Rabbi Meir is Mechayev, even if Zayin Yachol, Zayin Yachol. So we have really a machlokas in the extremes here. There's a sheet that holds Shechayev, even Zayachov Zayachov, which you say, I'm not really doing anything, I've done it myself. And nonetheless, Shechayev, that's Rabbi Meir. There's a sheet that holds your potter, even if Zay no Yachov Zay no Yachov, where I absolutely need you to do it. And that's Rabbi Shimon. And then we have the middle sheet, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends if Zayachov Zayachov, then indeed he didn't do anything. So that was necessary. So you're not chayim. But if zei no yachol, if zei no yachol, then you would be chayim. That's the middle sheet. What was the basis of this machlokas that we didn't get to yesterday? So seven lines down from the top, the Gemara asks, what exactly are we arguing? We're arguing in the pasuk that we keep bringing. We only bring one word of the pasuk, ba'asota. And Tosfos is indeed concerned, why do we bring dafke that word? He says, maybe it's because it's the closing word, it's the last word. But the truth is that it's the entire posik regard. Ve'im nefesh achat techeta bishkaga ba'ama'aretz ba'asota. Take a look at how that posik appears to be zeroing in on a very specific thing. Nefesh achat. I mean, it doesn't have to be nefesh achat. Nefesh is always achat. Nefesh, first of all, an individual. Achas, a specific individual. Be'asota, when it does this specific thing. So it's a puzzle, keeps stressing the idea of specificity. So be'etzem, we have over here three separate miyutim. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Zlata miyutik tivik. We have to read it like this. We're defining the chait. So we have the nefesh who is techata, the achat who is techata, the be'asota is the act of the techata. We have three different ways of being mamayat here. Now remember that yesterday we went through actually four different levels that require miyut. Because we said, look, you can talk about the thing that appears to be the least meaningful of all, which is where one person does an akira and the other person does the hanoch, in which case nobody did the mamayat. Okay, that's the most reasonable thing to exclude. So it would seem, and we'll see there may be alternatives, but so it would seem, that's the easiest thing to exclude, right? Nobody did the malachim over that kid. Understand that you can't put together the maisim of two different people when there's nothing that's mechaber them particularly. So that's the case in our Mishnah, the Ani, the Balabayat, neither of them did it. I understand that that's the most reasonable thing to be most. Then we have a shaila in which two people do the malacha. Each one does literally half of the shir. One writes one letter, and one writes another letter. There you have the entire malacha that was done. At least each person was Isaac in the malacha. They only were mesayeh al-adari, so to speak, in filling up the shir. Okay. Then we have the question of a case where zeyachol v'zeyachol. There's two people that could have done it on their own. What they're doing is a strange way of doing it, but two people are doing what one person could do. And then finally, on top, we have Zayin Oyakov, Zayin Oyakov, which is the least reasonable thing to throw out. Now, because we understand that, the first thing that strikes us is, wait a second, we only have three miyutim here. We couldn't possibly be my at all of those cases. to allow room for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is patur in all of the above cases, right? How could you patur in all of the above cases with only three miyut? So obviously, one of those cases, he holds, doesn't need a miyut. That we're going to have to see, okay, why that's true, why the Gemara takes for granted one of those cases. Let's see what the three cases are that he's memayit from the three miyut. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, we have three miyut here. We have the nefesh techata, the achas techata, the basata techata. Okay. The most reasonable thing to be mamayat, the first one, I've only said one, I would say, that's going to be mamayat ze'oker v'zeminiach, because neither of them did the malacha. The next one will be mamayat ze'yachol v'ze'yachol. But the thing which I would least think on my own to be mamayat, were ze'enoyachol v'ze'enoyachol, where both of them are critical for the achievement of the malacha, even that, the third posik is coming to be mamayat. Which case was left out that apparently didn't need a miyut? Strangely enough, no. The case of zekosev osachas was zekosev osachas, right? That's the only case that he didn't mention of the four that we said was reasonable. And it's interesting that Tosfos says the reason for this must be that the Gemara is not looking at it the way we're looking at it. The Gemara has a very interesting way of looking at it. The Gemara is assuming that if neither person did the malacha, so I only wrote one os, and the other guy wrote one os, I don't even need a pasuk. Of course you're pater. You're pater lechatzi shir. I mean, how would I think that somebody else's shir is part of my shir? What's going to be mitzaref artu shir? I don't need a pasuk for that, right? I understand, but I thought like, the case of Zeoker Vezeminiyah is even less than that. I mean, we said the lowest possible case is Zeoker Vezeminiyah. And yet for that we do need a pasuk. Why is that reasonable we do need a pasuk? Says Tosfos a beautiful svar. But the Gemara's havamina was that the Akira and Hanocha are essentially conditions in the Malacha. But they're not the Malacha. The malacha is the moving it from one rishus to the other. The only thing is, you're not chayev by moving it one rishus to the other. If the chayfetz wasn't munach in the first rishus, and if the chayfetz isn't munach in the second rishus, but it's not that the act of the akira hanocha is part of the hotzah. So therefore, the fact that it was finished, that's like a maisa kof b'alma, essentially. Just logistically, somebody else set it down. So now that condition was fulfilled. But who did the malacha? The guy who took it from one rishus to the other. He did the malacha. It's fascinating. We should come to this issue only 90 pages into the Masechta. We've been talking about it so the whole time. But this is a very fundamental question.
And in the moving rishus, both of them were doing it together.
That yeah, yeah. That and that part, they were both carrying the kicker.
Right.
So therefore, the first pasuk is more needed to tell me that that's not the case than to tell me that you've got a chatzi shir that somehow would be mitzvah, which I could know on my own. So Tosfos explains the circuit. So it has vast implications befall to the whole din of Hutzah. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon's approach. So Lechora, Rabbi Shimon is right, he's got three miyutim. How is it that Rabbi Yehuda ignores his additional miyut and says that, well, the case where Zayin Oyachol was Zayin Oyachol, I mean, you can't exclude that case. We don't have a miyut for that case. But he doesn't like one of these miyutim. What's his problem? Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, I like your miyutim. They're beautiful miyutim. We appreciate your miyutim. There's only one problem. There's another case that requires the miyut before the case that you're using it for. You're using it for Zayachol v'Zayachol. Sorry, Zayno Yachol v'Zayno Yachol. I think that's highly unlikely because we've got another thing that needs to be addressed. And what is that? Remember, this pasuk is not talking about Shabbos. This pasuk is talking about the nature of the chiyuv of a carbon. If I was told by Besdin that it is this type of fat is absolutely kosher. Turns out it's chaylev. And Besdin fesses up that they made a big mistake and they passed wrong. Actually, it was chaylev. What happens to the people that ate the chaylev with that big hatcher of Besdin? This is the big shaila. Everybody always says, it's on my shoulders. What happens if it's Bezdin's shoulders? Do you have to bring the carbon, or does Bezdin have to bring the carbon? Now, we know where it was Robot Seabor with all of the Shvatas, the whole Besachosurius, and over there. The Bezdin brings the carbon for everybody. But how about where Bezdin isn't bringing the carbon? Because Robot Seabor didn't follow them. And some poor guy followed the Bezdin, he didn't know. So there, in fact, we have a Machlokas. Is a yochid that's also Baraz Bezdin, is he considered to be a shogeg? Because you should know better. All the Gedolei Torah didn't know better, so it means that you can't know better. You have a responsibility to know what the din is. So you have to bring a carbon. It's called an anus. Or, and of course this has vast implications, legabe in general, human responsibility, expectations, and the question of the infallibility of the vote. Is there an inyan of following along, even though you know something is wrong? Or do we say in such a case, a yochid cannot be expected to suspect that all of the Sanhedrin is wrong, and therefore he's begetter and onus, even where it wasn't Robot Zibur that did it. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, I hold that such a person is indeed potter. How do we know that he's potter? Because that's what the pasuk is coming to tell me. You have to be a nefesh achas, that's also bishkoka. But if the Sanhedrin is telling you that, it's not your individual determination that made to do this. That's considered to be essentially a onus. You're not included in the pasuk here. In which case, I use up one of the miyutim to tell me that case, that a yochid who did it, baraz bezdin is potter. Therefore, I'm left with one miyut less. If I don't have that miyut, the case that I don't exclude is the Zayin or Yaakov. Zayin or Yaakov, which was the least likely to succeed.
Is that reasonable to take one pasuk miyutim? Like one way over here, one way over there?
Yeah. Because the issue, remember, we're taking the pasuk a little bit out of context. We're applying it to Malachas of Shabbos and so on. The pasuk is giving you the various gedarim of what constitutes shkoga. It's actually very reasonable that the pasuk would be profoundly concerned about the nature of shagaga more than the nature of the malacha. So to be asota is indeed the way that I do it. But the nefesh is the awareness issue. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, well, I sure don't need a pasuk to be mamayat that. You know why? Because I hold these chayim, that's why. So I'm not going to use the pasuk to tell me something that's simply not the halacha. So I'm not going to be reminded from the pasuk the way I was mekabel halacha. Tosfos says this is a mistake. The girsa we have is a mistake because the Gemara says clearly in Hurius that actually Rabbi Shimon holds that Yochid Shasa Baraz Bezdin is potter and that he's an onus. Therefore, the other girsa which Tosfos brings is Rabbi Shimon holds it's not based on a pasuk. It's based on an analysis of what the difference is between shogeg and onus, where someone didn't think that he needed to think, and it was taken off of his head. That's an onus. And say, when somebody holds a gun to you, it's not your mindset. So over here, you're acting out Bezdin's thinking, not your own thinking, and therefore you're not even called a shogeg. But that's a sfarah. I didn't have a pasuk for them. So therefore, they're not arguing as to what the din is. Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda, the Gabi Yochi Chasa'ah. They're arguing whether you need a miyut for it. And Rabbi Meir, how does Rabbi Meir get away with it? Because even if he holds that you do need a pasuk to tell me the din of Aras Bezdin, you still have two other miyutim. One of those miyutim should have been Mamayat, the case of Zayachov Zayachov. And yet Rabbi Meir insisted Zayachov Zayachov is Chayat. How do we explain that? Says Rabbi Meir, well, you made yourself too many miyutim, my dear friend. Because, look, it doesn't say in the pasuk, yeah, I like the way you analyze the pasuk. You know, you chop it up and put it back together. Nefesh techeta, achas techeta, basota techeta. Very impressive. Until you read the pasuk, you see it doesn't say anything of the sort. Because, im nefesh achad, that's the way the Torah always speaks. How do you say the word, an individual? Nefesh achad. Are you going to split an individual into an Indi and a vigil? So it's in Nefesh HaKat, that's one. Okay, then you got the other one, Ba'al Sota. So you have one mi'ed in terms of the way in which the person was aware, another mi'ed in terms of the way in which a person does something. You got three mi'udim, that's all. That's what you got. So Chad is indeed l'mutei zeh kevezeh mi'niyah, which is the way in which it's done, and that we said was the most likely to be mamulet. And that's all. Now that makes a lot of sense to the pasuk. The pasuk is addressing two issues. What's the person aware of? And what did he do? Those are the two things that you would need to discuss when you're coming to talk about the dinim of chiyuvim of chatas. Very clear and simple to me. But meanwhile, you're left with no reason to be mamayit zeyachol v'zeyachol. Lamaisa, both of the people picked up and carried out a challah. What's so bad? Memela, you would be chayav. And we welcome our dear Bob that we have missed so terribly. And so just thinking about you this morning, I wonder when he's coming. Bruchim haba'im. Omar. Okay, now let me ask you something. We had in the Braisa a case that we didn't mention in the Mishnah. The case in the Braisa was, if one of them is Yachol, and one of them is not Yachol, then everybody's Maida that you're fired. So, when you say everybody's Maida that you're fired, who's fired? Haimi Nayo, which one is fired? So, Haimi Nayo Mechayev, if you said. Now, this seems like an absurd question. Haimi Nayo Mechayev. I mean, what are we going to say? That the guy who didn't do it is chayav. I mean, that everybody is made it. That the guy who couldn't have done it, that he's the one that's chayav in the case where the other one would be pater. And that case, Rabbi Shimon, for some strange reason, well, even if neither of them could do it, that they're both pater. But if one of them could do it, then it's more likely that you're chayav. That's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, there's less reason to think that either of them would be chayav. So how could it mean? I mean, if anything, I could understand that it means that Rabbi Shimon is made it, and in a case where one of them basically isn't doing anything because he couldn't do it anyway, and I could do it, so my doing it is the entire thing, and we can effectively ignore the other guy, and therefore in this case the terror was with Maida. That I understand. I certainly don't understand the possibility of saying that everybody is made, including Rabbi Shimon, that where one guy can do it, the other guy can't do it. The guy who can't do it is chayav. That's crazy. Explains Taisus, of course, that's not what we're asking. It's a double parsha that we're referring to the guy who can do it. The Gemara is only asking, and it says, Haimi Nayo, but how about the other guy? What would the opinion be? Not according to Rabbi Shimon, of course, but what would be an opinion according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about a guy who can't do it in the presence of somebody who can do it? We never discussed that before. And that revolves around the issue of someone who gives a lending hand. Is an unnecessary misayeya meaningful, or is it effectively ignored? If you're going to tell me that an unnecessary misayeya is, look, I mean, he's still there. I mean, he's helping. He may not be necessary, but he's helping. And that's no different than the guy where both of them could have done it. So in a sense, they're both helping each other. You could look at it, right? So if Rebbe Meir's Mechayev there, he'd be Mechayev here also. Obviously, the other guy's going to be Chayev, the one who could do it. My only question is the other one Chayev? And the same question would be according to Rebbe Yehuda. That's what I'm entertaining also. I'm not entertaining only. The one who is chayav is dafka, the one who should not be chayav, and I'm not that stupid. But what about that question? Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. I'm not asking you Aliba the Rabbi Shimon. Omer, Rav Chista, the only one that's going to be chayav, according to anybody, is the guy who could do it. Zeshiyachol. The Izeshenoyachol, my God, I understand. What is the other guy doing? The other guy's not accomplishing anything. If one guy could do it on the own and I can't, so then, in the presence of the chaos, or the maneuverability of the one who can't, does this point out, it has nothing to do with how strong you are. I mean, it might have to do with who's at the pivot of the lever, and who's at the, you know, I mean, it's a question. You could be on a seesaw, and the shaila is who's closer to the middle, who's further, but it's not only a function of weight. obviously. So there's a set that doesn't mean a yachol in terms of strength. But in other words, in this particular hotzah, depending on your strength, your position, and so on and so forth, one guy is basically helpless. And the other guy can do the whole thing on his own. So then he's called a misayeya. A misayeya is to be ignored as engo mamish.
But why both of them could do it by themselves? So each one is
because then each one of them,
so the other guy is also unnecessary.
True, but since you can't be mavato one to the other, you can't say, well, he's not doing anything. What do you mean? So in other words, nobody's doing anything. So I guess it didn't move. I was imagining that it moved. Nobody did anything. Right? I mean, my kids do this all the time, but I don't fall for it. So, therefore, my God, what did he do? He didn't do anything. How could we mechayev a guy for not doing anything? Amalei Rav, what do you mean, what did he do? Come and say anybody. He was helping. I mean, well, I thought the whole point is, if you hold on, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, as you just pointed out yourselves. He doesn't need to do. He only needs to help. So he's helping. Why is it different than that kind of helping? I'm like, this kind of helping in which the other person is doing it and this person can't do it is only helping. It's not, he doesn't play a role, therefore, because he can't play an equal role. So therefore, a role in which one is only in this idea, ain't bo mamash. It's meaningless. Omer zvin mishvei derav afanan amitina. I can bring you a raya that helping when it's unnecessary, meaning being a fifth wheel. That's basically the question. So being a fifth wheel, or for that matter, a fifth leg of a horse, which would be the same issue, right, is not meaningful. I could prove that to you. How can I prove it to you? Well, it says like this, Haya yosheva gabe hamita, v'arba taliyot tachat arba raglei hamita. Tameyot. If a zav is sleeping on a bed, and he's got, this bed is supported by four talitot. That's how Rashi learns. Others learn taliyot are not talitot. And a taliyot is a tali, meaning it's a piece of beged that was going to be used for patching or whatever. Doesn't mean a whole, not that it matters. We're just analyzing the language. Is taliyot a proper way of saying the plural of talit? Okay, but anyway, so he's got, let's see, he's got four pieces of beged, one piece under each one of these legs. Now, l'chora, we've got an issue over here of mishkav azav. And every one of these things, even though they never came in contact with the zav, should be tummy because of midras hazav, right? And then, in fact, that's an halacha. But you say, but wait a minute, I mean, you've got four legs, each one of which is holding up the zav. I mean, so they're all helping. True, but mipnei sheinichol ala amod al shalosh, this zav would not have been able to sleep on his bed if it only had three legs. So therefore, there's no fourth leg. They're all first legs. Because they're all necessary. Therefore, they become zeino yachol, v'zeino yachol. And then the equivalent idea. So each one of them is equally imperative to the Mishkav Azav, and so we view it as having been the whole thing, for all intents and purposes. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, of course, says, well, yeah, that's true, but by Shabbos, what's the din of Ze'ino Yechov, Ze'ino Yechov? You're potter. Well, here too, you're potter, so to speak, meaning it's not Tommy. Because you're right, we absolutely need both of you for Shabbos. And over here, we absolutely need all four of you. But so what? Just like the Torah potters you on Shabbos and views a partial helper as being, even when he's absolutely necessary, as not being the equivalent of the guy who did the job, and therefore everybody's potter. Over here, each one of those legs, even though he's absolutely necessary, is not sufficient to be called a primary Mishkav Azav and doesn't transfer the tuna to the talit. So it's completely consistent with our ideas here in Shabbat. However, on the other hand, if this guy, this Zav, is riding in his animal, or he's riding his horse, and there's four, but this horse is not standing still. Tosis points out, if the horse is moving, it's a whole different issue, because as we know, if you strobe light the horse, while it's moving. Indeed, it does remove its feet from the ground, two of the feet than the other two. That creates a whole different situation, as we'll see later. But assuming this horse now is standing still, there's four talitot, one underneath each leg, okay? And there, it's tahorot. Each one of those talitot are tahorot. Why? Because each leg is a fifth wheel. Since the horse can stand on three legs, as opposed to a bed, which will make no efforts to support itself on three legs, which is just outrageous sometimes, but that's the way it is. He said, since it's been actually a cholala amod al shalosh, so that means each one of them is essentially a fifth wheel, and it's being misayeya, but it's not really needed. Because we could do without you, Mr. Leg. So we could look at each leg and say, Mr. Leg, we could do without you. You're achieving nothing. I mean, therefore, they're not metame. Now, if you hold misayeya yeshbo mamash, so then who cares if I'm a fifth leg? I'm pulling my weight, am I not? So if I'm pulling my weight, I should be part of the equation. And yet, it says in the Mishnah, you're taught. Am I? So I ask you, Sivritzvi, how come it's saying about it? Or am I not helping? Am I not carrying my own weight? The only conclusion I can reach is that the Mishnah is taking for granted that helping as a fifth wheel is not significant, because you're saying you're pulling your own weight, but we don't need you. This has vast implications for human affairs, as you can see. Because most people are fifth wheel. But they are pulling their own weight. Hello, Calvin. So nice to have you nearby. I see you really want that wormwood. But I found out where it is, and I just have to go retrieve. Spoke to her at 2:00 in the morning. Interrupted her fishing trip just to get your wormwood. All right. Omer of Yudami Discard, applying some Cartesian logic here, when you come from Discard, and there's not much choice, Leolam Emalacha Misea Yeshbo Mamash. Actually, I could tell you that that's not the point over here. The reason that the fourth leg, and therefore all of the legs, is considered to be potter is not because Misaya Inbo Mamash. If it were really pulling its own weight, then Misaya Yeshbo Mamash. Perhaps. Vishani Hacha the Okrala Lagamri. The point over here is that the animal, in fact, will tend to remove its weight from the fourth leg. In the same way that a person who's tired will often lift up one foot, you'd think, I mean, doesn't that make it harder to stand? But it removes the pressure from my foot. So the animal also, what appears to you to be standing equally on four legs, is not really true. The animal is okay one leg slightly, and that one is not pulling its weight. And therefore, since each one of these legs, in turn, is playing the role of Misayeya, and at any point it could be that one. That's the reason. No, it's just
the animal standing.
Yeah, standing still. That's the reason that Joseph says, of course, we're not talking about walking or running, because then obviously it lifts its leg up, and you could even have two up, and then, you know, so that would have changed everything.
At some point,
as the Gemara, as our president points out, that's all very nice, but you can't theoretically say that each one of these legs is awkward. I mean, you could theoretically say, we don't need you to pull your weight, but we can't say you're not in contact, either you are or you aren't. So you know what this is similar to? I'll tell you what it's similar to. It's similar to a case where a zav is lying on a surface that consists of, let us say, various filing cabinets. He goes to sleep in the office, and a filing cabinet, since it's open from the side, you don't say, Amod v'nasim lachtenu, because frankly, those kind of people, we'd rather have them asleep instead of at the desk. So we'll just open the cabinets, take things out while he puffs away on the top. Now the thing is, that he has a tendency to roll around on his delicious bed of filing cabinets. Sometimes he's on top of this filing cabinet, sometimes he's on top of the other. We don't keep track of what happens over there. But the thing is that that's exactly the case over here. The animal will sometimes lift this way, sometimes lift that leg. This is not a theoretical consideration, it's a practical consideration. Which leg? If you claim, Rabbi Yehuda, that the issue over here is that there's an actual lifting of the leg, then we are left with the Zav on the filing cabinet scenario. And there, Lahave, says the Gemara, Zav HaMitaper. Is that not the case of someone who is twisting around on various cabinets, and that's a Mishnah? Milo Tan, does it not say that a Zav Shehayah Mutal al Chamisha Safsalim or al Chamisha Pundaot? Pundaot are filing cabinets, they use it for money storage. So, Le'or Chan Tmeim. So, if he's lying along his length, along their length, so then they're all Tmeim. Le'or Chaban, however, if he's lying across these filing cabinets, say he's got five filing cabinets, and he's lying across them, his length to their width, then none of those cabinets are actually supporting rove of him at any time. In which case, we don't have over here rove of the Zav at one time on any location, and therefore he would be taught. But if it's a Sufik mitapech aleihem, if we're not sure that he's standing still and he's lying and he twists around at night, then he's tameh. Because we say, look, even though normally a Sufik tumah b'rushut harabim is tahor, but over here, this is not a normal Sufik. This is, the question is, what is the norm? Not was there contact, but this is the norm that he switches from one to the other. Is that not the case by the animal? I mean, certainly not going to tell me that there's one leg that the animal keeps in the air all the time. It's going to move around to relieve the pressure on its feet. So then this is the case. You say, but well, I didn't see that. I didn't watch the Zav in the filing cabinets either. But that type of Suffolk would be metamic. As you can't tell me that that's the reason. It's got to be because El Allah, Mishram De'amina Meseya, Ein Bo Mamash, it's the way I saw it, says Reb Zvita in the first place. It's because even though I'm assuming that in fact it's sitting on all of its legs, one of them, and therefore all of them, vis-a-vis the others, are not carrying their own weight, even though they are, because we don't need it to carry its weight. Boy, oh boy, how many government positions would be lost? How many family nepotism appointments would disappear if this would get out? No wonder they burned the Talmud. Amr Papi Mishmeder of Hafanan Namitin. I'll bring you another riot that Misagia Inbo Mamash. Rabbi Yossi Omer, here's a fascinating thing. If a Zav is on a horse, and there's satalit under the legs of the horse. Now the question is it under the legs of the horse or under the hands of the horse? Oh, is that what they're called? In Hebrew, they're the hands. That's an easy way to... Even though in Hebrew we call a rear axle a front axle achori. Is it the it's the front axle it's the rear axle hakidmi. Yes. So a horse, actually the gears that we have is probably wrong, according to most of the Rishonim. It should be the other way around. That a horse is metame on its feet, and a donkey is metame on his hands. Shemishenet asus al raglav, it should say. Mishenet achamor al yadav. Fine. Now, Rashi learns that Rabbi Yossi clearly is arguing on the Mishnah we just had that says all four legs and so on. That's the easiest way to look at it. Tosis is metallic a little bit. But anyway, I ask you, granted that this is true, but are the other legs not helping? Did you ever see a horse dancing down the street and standing up only on his rear legs? But they're for a few minutes. But they're helping. So you see that a Messiah must be Lav Mishum Damina Messiah in Bomanish. Omer Rashi Avananu Mitzvin. I'll bring another ayah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Here we're talking about a Kohen. A Kohen has to be standing on the floor of the Azora in order to be doing his Avodah. If there is a Chatzitza between his feet and his bare feet, not allowed to wear shoes either, if there's a Chatzitza between his bare feet and the floor, so the din is that that's passes his Avodah. Now suppose he has one foot on the floor, and his other foot is on a Kli or an Eben. Tosis points out, by the way, that you would think that an Eben is not a Chatzitza, because the floor is made of Avonim, and Min Levino normally in a Chatzitza. But that's not Nogea over here, because an Eben that is standing on the floor is actually an obstacle, not a floor. So it's not a function of its Chatzitza because of its material, it's a function of its Chatzitza because it shouldn't be there. Okay, but here he's got one foot on the floor. Therefore, what should be the halacha? Is he standing on the floor, or is he standing on the kli? Ro'im, analyze the balance of forces. Kol she'ilu yinatel ha'kli v'tinatel ha'evet. If we would remove the kli, and now his foot would be in midair, the current way in which he's balanced, would he be able to maintain his balance, or would he fall over? If he would keel over, it's no good, because then he was obviously being supported by the kli. But im yocholam odaraglochav, if he could stand on the one leg that he's standing on, which is on the floor, then the avodah is kosher. It's only im lava v'das psula. I ask you, are you trying to tell me that he was not using his other leg at all? That was on the kli. Obviously, he was using it. Elamai, it's a misayeah. And you're telling me a misayeah that ain't bo mamash, right? Okay, there you go. V'okha misayeah v'ari adani. Lav mishum v'armina misayeah ain't bo mamash. Omer Ravina, I'll bring another Ryan. Havanana mitzmina. Kibel b'yamin v'smolo misayeah ato. We have the same halacha about pasaling avayda, the Kabbalah Saddam, or any other avayda, actually. In a case, we'll use your left hand. I suppose he's really tired today. So he's makaba with his right hand, but he's holding up his arm with his other hand because he's like really getting tired holding his thumb for his turn to get up to the mizbeach. Okay, so he got into the mode in which he's supporting his hand with his other hand. There too you have a misayeh of small. Is that considered to be kabbalah of small? Or is that considered to be kabbalah biyamin? So here it says, kibel biyamin, even though small misayeato. Avodato ksheira. Now you'll say, but why isn't his left hand certainly carrying a certain portion of the weight? Must be because, okay, but you don't need it, do you? So it's called misayeah. A misayeah ba'ave adari. Lav mishum de'amina misayeah bo mamash. Shma amina. There you go. There's another raya. Now, the case that we had in the braita of zeyachol v'zeyachol, Rabbi Meir holds your chayev. This raises an issue, because how do we look at that chiyuv? Do we look at that chiyuv that they both did this malach, and since Rabbi Meir doesn't have a pasuk to be mamayin, what's the difference how many people do the malacha? They're all shutafim in the malach. Or do we say, look, this challah is a big challah. It has enough to go around for more than one guy. So therefore, what we do is we say, okay, he took out a grogeret of the challah, and the other guy took out another grogeret of the challah. But suppose b'sach hakol was only one grogeret. Would you still say that you're both going to be shutafim in a single avodah melacha of one grogeret? That's a different way of looking at it, right?
Shear.
Do we need a shear for each one of these people so that we can, so to speak, theoretically split the melacha between them in a way in which each of them has a whole melacha? Or do we actually say we don't even need a shear? We need one shear. What's the difference? How many participants do you have? So that's our question. Liboyal. Be inan shear lazev a shear lazev? Or do ma shear achad a kulam? Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna argue about this issue. Chana ma shear lazev a shear lazev? וכאן אמר שיעור אחד לכולם. אוקיי, אמרי פלאפה משמי לרבה, הבה ננה מצנינה. I think I can bring a raya from a Mishnah. היה יושב אגבי מיטה. Let's go back to that Zov story again. He's sitting on a bed, ארבע תליות תחת ארבע רגלי המיטה, תמאות מפני שאין יכולה לעמוד על שלוש. That's all very nice. Good. What do you say? You're saying that this is a case of ze eno yachol, v'ze eno yachol, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev you. Okay, I understand that Rabbi Meir is not the one talking over here, because I mean, we're davka talking about a case of ze eno yachol. Obviously, this is not like Rabbi Meir. You asked your question, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. But I mean, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are certainly not arguing in this part of the issue about in a case where you are chayev, which according to Rabbi Yehuda's doctor, the Eino Yochol, or according to Rabbi Meir's even the Yochol. But whatever the case is that you are chayev, there's no reason for us to assume that there's a machlokas about whether you need a shear for each one. I mean, whatever Rabbi Yehuda holds is undoubtedly what Rabbi Meir will hold, right? Okay, so now, you're telling me I need each one of those legs. True, you need each one of those legs. The question is, do you have a shear for each one of those legs? Isn't that another issue? That's the issue you're raising. Do you need enough in the challah to be Machai of everybody? That's your question. Well, how many ways can we split this up? I mean, because if you got four legs, you don't have enough zav to go around, do you? We can't cut them into four pieces and give one to each leg, because then you don't have a zav to be Matami. So, Liboy shears evil as ever, shears evil as there. How come we don't need a zav on each leg? Must be because it's enough to have one shear for all. See? I got another case. Svi. You too? Svi shenichnas labayit. Here you have our case that we had early on. You have a tzvi walks into a house. Now, instead of kindly offering him a drink, you slam the door on him and decide you're going to eat him. After Shabbos, of course. That's what I call hachnozas orchid. But at that point where you close the door, you are chayim on seda. Right? So na'al echad b'fanav chayav. How about if two people run and slam the door together? Then you're punter. But if lo yachol echad linol, if one guy couldn't move that door, and come along two people and move it together, it's basically the same case we had by Otsa. Zei no yachol, zei no yachol. Chayavim. Problem is, there's only one svi there. So how could you, I mean, we certainly can't say, I caught half of it and you caught half of it. Because if there was only half of it there, then I wouldn't be chayav on seda, because it wouldn't have been able to run away just with its rear.
Or one side, right.
So in that case, we should ask, it's all very nice that it's Zeno Yafov and Zeno Yafov, but where's the shear? Liboy shear tzeda lezev, shear tzeda lezev. You see, you don't need. We view it as a shutafut in a single malacha, not as each one having various malachot. Omer Ravina, avanam hamitin. I got another case for you. I grew the same idea. Hashutafim sheganvu v'tavchu. Here you have Ganovim Incorporated, or Ganovim and Company. So together they steal a cow, and they shech the cow. So now you're chayev, of course, tashlum in dalet vei, and so on. Amai, liboy, you should say short. Amai, liboy, shiur tvich lezev, shiur tvich lezev. I mean, how many times can you shech the same poor short? So you did a maisev shchita. There's not enough to do a maisev shchita for two people. I mean, there's only one shchita. Ela, mishum nermin, and shirach lego, you see? Shechting that one shor is mechayev each of the shutfim.
But each one for half or?
Yeah, you don't have to pay more than. Okay, that's a sugya. We got the difference between the keren and the kefil, how they pay. The Omer of Ashi, I'll also bring you a raya. For not nami tanina, shnayim shotziu kona shogar. two people take out together the pole that is used for the weaving machine. So this is the pole on which you string all of those threads so that you can, you got two of them obviously, you know, they can move up and down. You got to be able to stuff the shuttle between them. But you got these poles arranged. He's keeping up okay. He's got no problem. He's calm in a second. So what's the halach over there? This is a big, heavy pole. You're chayev. Amai. Liboy shirot salazev, shirot salazev. Why don't you need two separate shiurim? I mean, here there's only one useful pole. Lam mishum na'aminu shirak ha'makula? Amai rabacha b'reda rabla rabashi wine. I mean, maybe this is a big pole, so it's big enough to cook two eggs with. Because the shear of a pole is fuel. Oh, come on, man. If the shear of a pole is fuel, why did it have to be a weaver's pole? Must be that we're talking about a pole that I'm being tired because of the shear of weaving, not the shear of burning. So he says, Rav Acha said, well, maybe it's because dipei kidei labashel beitzak alalazo beitzak alalazo. Oh, Malay, im kein lishmin and kana the amav, and just tell me a pole. Why is that the weaver's pole? I mean, maishla the garden. So obviously, it's not talking about a pole for fuel. Ah, okay, fine. Weaver's pole. How do you know how long the weaver's pole is? Maybe this is a very long machine, and it's got enough that at the same time, you're making two tablecloths. So there's enough over here to be able to make a useful pole for one guy that's carrying it, plus a useful pole for the other guy that's carrying it. At the same time, this pole is so big, we'll be able to both make ourselves a tablecloth at the same time. How do you know that this is a case where in Boshir Lazeb was a no, you can't be right. That Vilma Deepe Kide La Rog Mapala Zeb, Kide La Rog Mapala Zeb, Elami Halek Elamishma, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're not good enough for our tuna.
But all the other ones are good.
But the other tunas were okay, but this tuna is not okay. Tani Tanaka made it of Nachman. We have another Tana. Shnayim Shotsu Kana Shelgardi Turin Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. The way in which this Tana said it was really weird. Because he said Shnayim Shotsu Turin Rabbi Shimon is Mechayev. Of course, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says you're potter wherever you have two people doing it. And whoever the Tanakama was, whether it was Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, how come he's saying the opposite? He's saying, Rabbi Klape, Lion, where are you going? This is crazy. That was okay, sorry. I didn't hear. And Ema, I meant, the Tanakama says, Chayavin, and Rabbi Shimon says, Potter. And that, of course, is the correct way to say over this Tana.
Zukta Heidegemishna.
Hamotzi ochlin pachot mitishiur bekli patur, and he's patur af ala kli. This is interesting. You got a bowl, and in this bowl you have less than a grogeret of cornflakes. So you're patur on the cornflakes, but you'd say, so what? But the bowl, but since the bowl is only there to carry the cornflakes. And it's not that you need the bowl where you're going, you want the cornflakes where you're going. If you're not chayav on the cornflakes, you can't be chayav on the bowl either. Since the kli is tfeilala. Well, suppose, let's say, you're carrying out someone who falls asleep in Daf Yomi. You figure it's the best way to teach this guy a lesson, is pick up his chair while he's fast asleep and move him out. And then he wakes up and wonders what planet he landed on, right? Which he normally wonders anyway, I mean, even if he's in the Daf Yomi, but this way goes on for a minute. So the Shaila is, I'm not chayav on the guy. Why? Because a live thing, I'm not chayav on carrying. You see, a live person, a live thing that we're going to get into tomorrow. But the Shaila is, how about the chair? I mean, meanwhile, I carried the chair out, or in this case in the Mishnah, the guy was sleeping on a bed. They really went to town in Daf Yomi, but of course, that was the Roman Derek, wasn't it? You know, you sat on the bed. So over there, you're potter al mita, shah mita tfilalo. How about if you take out a dead body on a mita, then you would be chayiv, because the mate is not nosei et atzmo. As a matter of fact, even if you take out a kezayit min hamate, or a kezayit min hanevela, or a kadasha min hasheretz, these are all shiurim chashuvim because of the shir tuma. So even though, of course, there are malacha shein tzricha legufa, because you certainly are not trying to get the mace, you're trying to get the mace out of the house, but this is an important shir. So therefore, you would be chayev. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you wouldn't be chayev, because even though they have an important shir, but it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. So therefore, you would be put. Tener abot, ha-motzi ochlin kishir, im bikli chayev ala ochlin, u-potr ala kli. And that sounds a little bit weird, because who cares? I mean, what do you mean? Would I think I'm chayiv separately? Two separate chataot, one on the content, one on the kli. I mean, even if I had carried them out separately, I wouldn't, if it was Baal and Echad, I wouldn't be chayiv two separate chataot. So this is really crazy. And then it goes, I mean, it gets worse. Imaya kli tzarichlo, if you need to have the kli out there anyway, for more cornflakes that you've stored outside, so then you're chayav iman on the kli. So it's like, Gemara, what's that supposed to mean? Are you trying to tell me that if I ate two pieces of chayav, the hell am I? I'd be chayav on each piece? Because I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying, well, you took out the kli, and you took out the cornflakes, and maybe you had two grogerets of cornflakes, you'd be chayav on every grogeret, separate chatos. Where is such a thing? Normally the din is, if it's behel and echad, then there's no chiyav of separate chataot. So how could you shvam in oku shnei zeite chela b'lem echad chayav shtayim? Om Rav Shesha tzachmo yaskinan. We're talking about a case over here when it says chayav, it means you were a shogeg on the ochlin, but you were amazed on the kli. So when it says that you're chayav af ala kli, it means you're chayav misa, not that you're chayav a karbon chatos. Mask for Rav Ashi. Besides the fact that that's weird, says Rav Ashi, it does say you're chayav af al hakli. Last time I heard, af means the same as the other one. I don't get how you could say that chayav af al hakli means we introduce a new chayav over here, but chayav misa because you're amazing. Unacceptable. Elam Rav Ashi, I'll tell you what the point is. Of course we're talking about shogeg. There's a shogeg both on the cornflakes and on the kli. However, it's talking about a case where it was no dalo, v'chazar v'no dalo. He found out about the hotzah of the kli without realizing the cornflakes. Then he found out separately about the hotzah of the cornflakes that are in the kli, and that was a separate yisr that he had done. And then it's dependent on the machlokas we had before, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whether yidiot are michalkot, when you find out afterwards, you remember? Find out afterwards that you did it. You didn't bring yet your carbon. And then you find out separately that you did another one that was betoch osa alona. So we have a machlokas over there about whether yidiot are michalkot. Now certainly, kapora is michalekot, right? If I'd actually brought the carbon, and then I find out about the other thing that I did, then I for sure will have to bring it. But here we're talking about a case where it was yidiot, and that's what we're arguing about. Rav Sheshes and Rav Ashi. Rav Sheshes says that it's talking about that he was mazed on the kli, and he didn't want to say the case that we said. Gosh, he must hold that the din is that yidiot wouldn't be mechalkot, and therefore he has no choice but to say his funny teretz that's talking about it was amazing on the kli. Whereas Rav Ashi, who says, well, what's the problem? Why couldn't we just have a case where the yediyah was mechalik? He must hold, like the shita, that all the yediyah is mechalik. And that's the machlokas Rav Ashi and Rav Sheshes. Says Tosfos that pshat, which is Rashi's pshat, can't be true. Because you can't say that Rav Ashi and Rav Sheshes are arguing in the machlokas Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, because there's always a simple solution that Rav Sheshes could have said anyway, both Alibid Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. He could have said it's talking about that you brought the carbon. Why does it have to be talking about a case where we only found out? Why can't it be a case where you brought the carbon and Kapora and Michalkos, both according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So, No, says Tosfos. The Gemara is not trying to figure out when it says Plukta Rav Sheshes. It's not saying Plukta the Rav Sheshes and Rav Ashi. That's not the point. All that the Gemara is saying is that this din, the Yerchayev Shtechat Ta'ot, would be a machlokas Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, depending on the case. Doesn't mean the idea is machalik. We're not coming to address the machlokas of Rav Sheshes and Rav Ashi. It was Rashi who jumped to that conclusion. He's good?
Good.
Did you have a good time? Are you going to start coming every day? How about if we start the Mishnah on turtle, on the base?
Okay.
Hamotzi kikalo shet rabim chayav. Hotzi yushnayim turim. Lo yacholachad lo hotziyo. Lo hotziyo yushnayim chayavim. Rabbi Shimon Bote. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Im lo yacholach ad lo tziyo v'yotziyu shnayim chayavim, v'im lav piturim. I just want to point out, which I didn't talk at the time, that the two cases of Eagle and Korah are very likely there in order to establish a Tosfos of Pshat. The Eagle is heavy, the Korah is unwieldy, so, but it doesn't matter what the problem is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo yachol akad lo tziyo v'tziyo shnayim chayav, Im lav p'turim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af api shelo yachol akad lo tziyo v'tziyo shnayim p'turim. L'kach ne'amar v'asotah. That was the point of the pasuk, isn't it? Yochit shasot chayav, shnayim shasot p'turim. Now, v'maika mi'flegin, v'haikro, v'im nefshach atak tabish kagam yamar tzvi asotah, Rabbi Shimon Tzavar, aha, flatam yutik tivi, as if it wrote, nefesh tekata, achat tekata, v'asotah tekata, Rabbi Meir, Miktiv Nefesh Techata, Achas Techata, Basoto Techata, Tremiyote Ktive, Chad Lamute Zeo Kevazeminia, the Chad Lamute Yopcha Saborat Beitin, Omama, Zeoko Vezeno Yoko de Reko Chaya, Hamina Yomechaye, Omre Christus Ashioko, Dize Sheno Yoko, Michael Abbe, Omre Ravamuna, what do you mean? I mean, how come Messiah Bade? Omala, Messiah in Bomamash. Omer b'zvid mishmei d'rova afanana mitnina haya yoshev agavei amita varbat aliyot tachat raglei amita arba raglei amita tmeot mibdei sheinai yakol alamad ha-shalosh Rabbi Shimon b'tayar haya rochev agavei b'ima varbat aliyot tachat raglei b'ima torot mibdei sheinai yakol alamad ha-shalosh v'amad haka misayeh v'ani adani lav yishun v'yamin misayeh in bo mamash Omre b'yirun nidiskarta v'yolam e'malacha Misayeya yesh bo mamash v'shani ocha da akra lo legamri So, keep the zinin akra ha v'zinin akra ha v'havi kezav ha-mitapek Milo tzvan zav sh'ayam mutal al chamisha safsalim al chamisha pundaot l'orchan zime'in l'rochban t'horin yoshen safek mitapek alayim t'me'im ala mishamirin misayim bo mamash Omer Flubba Mishmein Rava Afanana Mitznina Rabbi Yerusi Omer Asus Betamei Araglav V'achamor Al Yadav Shemish Enet Asus Araglav V'chamor Al Yadav و مای آکا مسایه ها بعدی ها داری و میشون دیمین هم مسایه ها این با ممش هم رو باشی ها بنا نمیت دینا رو بلیز رو مرگلو ها خطالا کلی رگلو ها خطالا ریچپا رگلو ها خطالا ایمن رگلو ها خطالا ریچپا رو این کوش ایلو اینا تلا کلی بتی دا تلا ایمن یا کلا مولا رگلو ها خطالا بودا دا کشرا و این لا با بلا دا پسولا با مای آکا مسایه ها بعدی ها داری همشون دیم اینو مسیح این با ممش هم رو بین افن هم میتینا کی بیال بیمین به سمال مسیح تو عبادتو کشیر و مای حکم مسیح بحری عدالی همشون دیم اینو مسیح این با ممش شما مینا اما مرزه یا خوب زی خوب رو بیمه همه خیلی ای بایلو بی اینا شیور لزه به شیور لزه او دیم شیور خد کولا رب خیست رب امنون خرم شیور لزه به شیور لزه و خرم شیور خد کولا امر باب مشبین را و افنا نمیت نینا هیا یوشه و گبه میتا و بعد حالی اتا قطر بارک را میتا تمیاد میبنی شینا ی خلا لامودا شلاش را مای لیبای شیور زیبا لزه و شیور زیبا لزه لا میشون دیامینن شیور خد کولن امر نقمه یت قفنا نمیت نینا سویش نقرس و باید و نالا خد بفنا خیا نالو شنایم بطورین לא יכול אחד לנעלו ונעלו שניים חייבים עמי ליבוי שיעור צידה לזה ושיעור צידה לזה למה שאני אמין שיעור אחד לכולן אומרים אפנן המתינה השותפים שגנבו ותפרו חייבים עמי ליבוי שיעור תפיכה לזה ושיעור תפיכה לזה למה שאני אמין שיעור אחד לכולן ואומרים שאפנן המתינה שניים שהוציאו קודם של גרדים חייבים עמי ליבוי שיעור הוצאה לזה ושיעור הוצאה לזה מה משום נאמין את שיעור אחד לכולם? אומרי ואק וברי דרב לרבש נעד סוף פס דלמי פקידי לבשר ביצק הלאה לזה ביצק הלאה לזה נו, אם כן להשמין את קנה מה יש לנו את קנה בגרדי ודלמי דעית בקידי להרוג מפה לזה בקידי להרוג מפה לזה אלא מי הולך אלא נשמע מינו תני תני כבר דרב נחמן שניים שהוציאו קודם של גרדי פתולים פתולים ובשימן מחייב וואה, צעקי, מה הם? אלא אם החייבים ורבי שמעון פותר. המוציא אופן פחות מכשיעור בכלי פטורף על הכלי שהכלי תפילה לו. את החי במיטה פטורף על המיטה שהמיטה תפילה לו. את המת במיטה חייב. וכן גזית מן המת וגזית מן המבל אחת השם מן השרץ. ורבי שמעון פותר. תן רבנו המוציא אופן כשיעור אם בכלי חייב על אופן פטור על הכלי. ואם היה כלי צריך לו, חייב על הכלי. What? ששמע מן האוכל שני זיתי חלב דרם אחת חייב שניים? אומר רב ששת דוגמא עסקינן כגון ששגג על האוכלים והזין על הכלי. מה עסקי כבר רבה שפעף על הכלי גדול? אלא אומר רבה שכגון ששגג בזה ובזה ונודע לו וחזר ונודע לו ובפלוקת רבי אוכל עם רבי שמעון דמקש.